The title that you see is Apples of Gold. Obviously, it's from that passage in Proverbs. The word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I'm going to ask you to be extra diligent in a sense, not rely on your notes, but rely on your heart to remember one thing that is truly good for your soul that you can speak about with another person even this evening. Apples of gold, settings of silver. I've been an instructor for a number of years, and I found that the first 10 years, all I wanted to do was have words that weren't heretical. That was my goal. I wanted to fill up the class time with words that weren't heretical, and my fear was I would not have enough words. Now, of course, my students wouldn't have had that as a fear. They would have been glad to be left out early, but that was my fear. After 10 years, the next question emerged, which was, how can these words be simple and elegant and beautiful? How can they be wrapped suitably? That's what I would like to do. See, speaking the truth is not difficult. Very few of us speak heretical things to another person. That's the easy part. What Scripture calls us to do, truth and love, but you can use the entire wisdom literature as your proof text for this. The Scripture wants us to have words that are wrapped in ways that are suitable. So that's what we want to do this evening, and I'll be with you two more times tomorrow. I would like to dress the words appropriately. And this time, I'm going to use Scripture to dress those words for us. The words we're going to use tonight are words that are spoken to God, and Scripture calls us to speak them to God. So by definition, they are already wrapped and beautiful for us. I'm going to be looking at a lament psalm. I'll be looking at Psalm 10. Now, some of you who are Bible nerds and know about the lament psalms, you might know that Psalm 10 is rarely included in the lament psalms. And it's bumped out largely because it seems to be tied to Psalm chapter 9. And Psalm 9 in no way begins as a lament psalm. The reason they're separated in our Bible, they're not in the Septuagint, by the way, the reason they're separated in our Bible is because they don't sound like they belong together. So please feel free to get your Bibles out or your electronic Bibles out, because we'll be going through Psalm 10. And I cannot tell you exactly what version I'll be using, but it will be, it might be the ESV along with a few little changes along the way. It doesn't sound like, the two Psalms don't sound alike. Notice this, Psalm 9 begins, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. That's Psalm 9. It's a psalm where something was hard, but the Lord has taken away whatever it was that was hard. Psalm 10 begins, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? You can understand why they broke the Psalms into two, because they just don't go together. They share this times of trouble. You will find in chapter 9, in Psalm 9, it says this, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. It's the first time that's mentioned in the Psalter so far, that particular phrase. Psalm 10 uses it again as a way to show the link to Psalm 9. Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Okay. A very different way of considering that particular phrase. What ties them together is it's a modified acrostic. You're familiar with Psalm 119, how it starts with the various letters of the Hebrew alphabet. This doesn't cover all the letters, but they clearly move from Psalm 9 and they're picked up again, more or less in order in Psalm 10. Now, our goal is to look at Psalm 10 right now, but I give you its connection to Psalm 9 for one particular reason. It just shows the way that our God understands the complexities of the human heart. I have dear friends. When I first met them, they were going through an adulterous breakup. The wife had gone off with somebody else and looked like she wasn't coming back. She ended up returning and repenting, and they have a beautiful relationship. This is after decades now, a beautiful relationship. Probably 10 years after they reconciled, there was somebody I was counseling who asked the question, do you know anybody who has gone through a betrayal like this and has lived through it? Do you know anybody like that, and could I speak to such a person? Perhaps sometimes you have a question like that offered. And I said, well, I actually do know somebody. Let me call them. And I called them, and they didn't want to talk about it, which was somewhat surprising to me. But then as I got to know them a little bit better, every fall would be just this horribly dark time for the husband. Every fall. Started around September 15th and went through the beginning of winter. Because he knew, somewhere in him knew, that that's when his wife left. Every single year, he would fall into this darkness. He lived with this deep grief from the betrayal. Some sufferings, they can sort of fade away over time. The majority of them, however, they seem to have this stickiness that not only continues, but can intensify over time. Their experience of life is one of great grief as they remember this betrayal, and it's not a grief where they're at each other. It's a kind of grief that they share, where together they think, we wish there was never this kind of introduction of sin into our relationship. And they worship Jesus, and they praise him, and they love him, and they are content in him, and they are satisfied in him. They are both Psalm 9 and Psalm 10, and that is the more people you get to know, the more you realize this is actually the normal Christian life. So that's why I wanted to introduce the psalm. It seems like in its larger context. Let's turn our attention to Psalm 10. The lament psalms often will have three questions. And I would like you to remember these questions because one of your tasks, and I say you in particular in track four, one of your tasks is you know lots and lots of stuff. At this point in your life, you're looking to simplify that stuff. Rather than just add new material, volumes of material, how does that material come together in something increasingly accessible and simple? And elegant. These three questions can help us. Throughout the Lament Psalms, you will find one question that oftentimes begins. There are some books out recently. One is called Answering Speech. It's a sort of a funny word, but it's a funny phrase. But what it's saying is that our lives are fundamentally responding to God's speech to us. He initiates, he speaks, or asks a question, and then we respond. The Psalms are answering speech, where there is an implicit question that resides behind the Psalms. In a similar way, that there are implicit questions that the Apostle Paul responds to when he's writing his different letters. There are implicit questions that God is asking you. And the first question is this. And these are the questions as they unfold in the Psalm. What's on your heart? What is on your heart? And we can think about the heart in various ways. One way is, what is the most important thing on your heart? Or what is the thing that you feel most deeply? What is the hardest thing that you are experiencing right now?